Welcome back to Siren Radio with me, Jamie Rose. Today, joined with me, Bill, lead singer, songwriter, guitarist for, is it Bilo Bookers? I want to say, Leicester.
Bilo Bookers.
How do you say it?
Bilo Bookers.
Bilo Bookers, nice one, thank you. Oh, there you go, Bilo, that makes sense. Yeah, Bilo Bookers, Leicester, indie rock band. How are you, mate? Nice to finally get on the phone with you.
Yeah, you too. I'm not too bad, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Hopefully, we're not interrupting anything in the day. Is there any plans for today or this week that we are that have kind of in the pipeline, or are you just kind of chilling at home?
Chilling at home for now. We've got a gig Saturday, but that's about it.
Nice. Where are you on Saturday? Is it a far travel for you guys? Oh, so it's a bit of a travel then from Leicester to Wakefield, is it not? Or is it? I can't imagine. Is it a decent travel?
I'm not driving it, to be fair. So
yeah,
it's
nice
not really my problem.
You just get to sit in the back seat and have a few beers, don't you, on the way? But yeah, thank you for coming in, Rody. Appreciate it. I'll start with the kind of first bit. The name. How did the name come about for the band? Obviously, your name's Bill. Was it based off that, or was it something other else?
Yeah, literally, it's just been my nickname since I was about 16.
And then kind of when you formed the band, it was like, well, obviously it kind of makes sense to have it as like, it sounds like a band name, doesn't it, as well, I suppose.
It was just sort of,
yeah.
I started off the circuit as like just an acoustic singer-songwriter.
Yeah, because I've seen on your Instagram that you play kind of stuff acoustic and some with the whole band. So yeah, started off as acoustic and how did it go from there?
It just got to the point. I'd sort of we recorded the songs, and it was just like an instant, like a kick in the door. It's all like, I've got to start a band now, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, that doesn't always happen though. Some people do like to go solo. Do you feel like it was something that was missing from your kind of performances? Not to have someone that was like, you know, drums and bassist. Do you think that was something that was missing, or was it something where it's like, well, I'm writing so much music, it would make it easier and it'd make it better if I kind of formed a band instead of going solo? Kind of what was the reason behind forming a band rather than staying solo?
It was pretty much a case of like, I didn't want to carry the torch of just being an acoustic singer-songwriter, you know? I wanted people to have a laugh and have a dance, have a mess about, because you can't really do that with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, so did you have to kind of change it up, or are you still very much acoustic when you are in at the gigs, or do you kind of change it up with the guitar now with the band behind you, or do you kind of remain true to kind of that the acoustic roots?
So we pretty much do like half and half. So half of the sets with an acoustic guitar, half the sets with an electric.
Yeah, which one do you find kind of better for you guys? Or is it kind of a half and half that you kind of it's the best of both worlds? Obviously, prefer performing in particular.
It's proper half and half, to be fair, because it suits some songs better than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah, is there some songs that you kind of written that were designed to be acoustic, and some that were designed to kind of have a band behind it when you were kind of writing them? Is there some that are designed to have, you know, heavy drums behind it and a bassist, etc.?
Yeah.
And some songs that is there some songs that you have kind of pitched to the band and have kind of been like, no, this kind of don't work as a band. This kind of works as just a guitar on acoustic, and it just hasn't worked. Has there been cases like that that have been in studio, or is that your kind of indiscretion that you always kind of keep them songs away?
It's not really like an indiscretion, because the way it sort of goes now is like we start off the set with like the more acoustic songs. But it's literally just for the sound of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, it kicks into the electric. And then I've got a song called It's Okay Not To Be Okay, which you can imagine by the title is very much, it's got to be done acoustic.
Yeah, definitely. When you're kind of writing, because you're obviously the lead kind of songwriter, is there, are you just solely responsible for writing? Or is there like other bits with the, because I think, if I'm right, there's four of you in the band, isn't there?
Yeah, it's four of us.
Yeah, is the kind of different pieces that are kind of coming in, or are you kind of left to your own devices really to just solely write and leave that to you with the from the rest of the band? Or is everyone kind of adding in their own little input on it?
So little bits of input here and there. The band will help out with stuff like riffs, anything musically. But pretty much everything down to the lyrics is all me.
Yeah, do you prefer it that way, or would you kind of... Or do you kind of prefer just to kind of have little bits and bobs? Which one would you prefer in terms of kind of songwriting?
I don't really mind, to be fair. You know, if they could come up with like an absolute belter of a tune, I'd more than happily sing it for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not going to turn down something like that, but in terms of like you leave it better in your kind of your mind. Because I think Noel never really asked, like, you know, never really asked the rest of Oasis, did he? He just kind of left it to kind of him just to write, and then it was just to everyone else to kind of perform. I mean, when you are writing, kind of, what's kind of your kind of mindset usually? Because obviously that song, like, it's okay not to be okay. Is there like times where kind of you're just sitting down writing stuff like that, or is there kind of in a studio and you're like, this is the sound that we want to go for? I mean, when you're writing, are you trying to mix it up, or are you just trying to keep it as kind of whatever's in your head at that time?
I think I'm very much, to bring back up Noel, to be fair, Noel describes it as going fishing. So it's literally, you just sit there and wait till something pops in your head.
Yeah, that's a good way of kind of, I've never really thought about, like, I can't play guitar anyway. I'm definitely not talented enough to play guitar, let alone to write. Would you agree with that then? When you say about going fishing, it's quite a good way of looking at it, but it's like, is that the way that you kind of find it, or are you just kind of maybe driving in the car sometimes, or in the car, or maybe at work, and then something pops into your head and it just kind of sticks with you?
It's a bit of a mixture of both. Chances are, like, if I'm out and about and something pops in my head, I'll completely forget about it. But if I'm sat in the living room watching the telly and just playing my guitar, I might have a song by the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's. Are you kind of, do you kind of not always remember kind of what you're thinking? Or are you kind of constantly thinking about the band that some things just slip out of your mind just as you're going about your normal day? It's not one of them things where you're like, oh, here's a melody that's going to stay in my head like kind of an earworm throughout the day. Or is it just one of them that you're like, oh, this would be a good idea, and then kind of forget about it, and then it maybe pops up a couple of weeks later?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely just pops into my head and then disappears for 2-3 weeks.
I'm like that a lot of the time as well, mate. I mean, the band, we'll talk about the band as a whole. Leicester, obviously, kind of coming from a massive musical background in Leicester. I mean, you've got Kasabian, you've got, I can't think of anyone else. But yeah, who else is from Leicester? I'm trying to think. But you kind of got a...
The big bands, it pretty much is just Kasabian.
Yeah, in terms
of counts, what he wanted.
Yeah, I was trying to think if it was like Leicester, but even that kind of Midlands, like the Midlands as a whole, I suppose. But yeah, kind of what are your influences as a band then? Would you say, or has everyone got different variations of music that they listen to?
Everyone's got different variations. So my bassist tries to help out with songwriting a few times. He's just into absolutely anything and everything. And then my lead guitarist is into more metal. And yeah. I can't think what my drummer's into. My drummer's just sort of in the background, listens to whatever he listens to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what are you kind of into then? Because obviously you're kind of writing a lot of it. What are you kind of listening to? Are you listening to songs like, you know, Wonderwall that are written beautifully? Or are you kind of going more for, you know, something like, I don't know, AC/DC, for example, that's kind of a wall of sound?
Are you not AC/DC.
Are you not a massive fan of kind of like massive classic rock then? What are you kind of into?
I'm more into it's going to sound dead stereotypical, but it's just British songs.
Yeah, a bit of British indie.
If I look back at my whole like Spotify playlist and everything, it's all just like English music, and it's anything from like, you can go from Catfish in a Bottle, Men and Arctic Monkeys to stuff like The Specials and Madness to, I think the furthest I'd go is like Motown in the 60s, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so there's a lot then, really. I was going to say, when you started saying about Catfish and kind of Arctic Monkeys, I mean, you're then solely in your 2000s indie, but I suppose then when you're going with the Specials, etc., it's just kind of that British sound that just constantly evolved. Would you say that that's a fair evaluation?
Yeah, definitely.
But kind of as you combine it together, do you think it's kind of... What would you say that you resemble in terms of bands now? Or do you feel like you guys have a kind of unique sound, perhaps?
I think we're a bit too unique, to be fair. Because the sort of songs I write, they can vary from literally just sounding from how I talk to being quite melodic and quite singing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, do you kind of change it then? Do you kind of change one of them people when you're kind of singing, that you kind of change the twang on certain songs? Or do you kind of always kind of remain true to the way that you talk, perhaps?
It's all the way that I talk. even when I sit, I've been into Oasis for too long to put on an accent when I sing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've kind of got that. I mean, are you originally from Leicester then? Or are you all from kind of Leicester then?
How did you all
kind of meet then, perhaps? Like, how did you all kind of get together? How does it all end up in kind of an ensemble, perhaps? Because you say about kind of you was writing, you know, you was writing these acoustic songs and then you needed a band, but how does the band come together? I mean, in the middle of Leicester?
It was all sort of happenstance, to be fair. So it started off with me and my drummer, because I've known my drummer for years.
What year would this be in that you kind of started to kind of put the band together? What year are you kind of talking there?
2022.
Oh, so it's not been... So you guys are kind of just very much on the rise as well. I mean, what sparked it then in 2022? Or was it just one of them things? I mean, you've been writing for a while, been in a few bands and kind of making music. I mean, why 2022 was the time to put the band together? Was there a reason, or was it just one of them things that you think the music works better as a band?
It was literally just a case of, like, I've been in the studio just by myself. We did these five songs that we've just brought out, and then by the end of it, it was just sort of, you can't have a song like Sweating Out, but have a band behind it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, talk about the five songs that are kind of out now. I was going through and it's definitely this kind of... You can say when you about the influences, you can definitely feel the sense of kind of Britishness behind it. Is that something that you kind of keep dear to you? Do you kind of not try and Americanize it? Do you just kind of keep it kind of this strictly British sound, perhaps?
Well, actually, I don't want to Americanize anything, but I don't want it to come down to like just sounding like British. I just want it to sound like me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's just something that just rolls off the tongue naturally, I suppose, because you're kind of surrounded by it. Have you always kind of been... musically, I mean, was you kind of always surrounded by music growing up?
Oh yeah, definitely. One of my first memories of childhood is watching bloody, I think it was Some Might Say on the telly. On Cigarettes and Alcohol.
What, on Top of the Pops, 1994, or The Word?
Just on the music video. Just the music video. It was the black and white one, weren't it?
Yeah, it'd be Cigarettes and Alcohol. Cigarettes and Alcohol is the black and white one.
Yeah, so Some Might Say though as well.
Is it? I don't think I've seen one to Some Might Say. I've only seen one to Cigarettes and Alcohol, to be fair. I've listened to it, but I've never seen a music video, which is weird enough.
I think the story behind it was, I think it was Liam or Noel didn't turn up for the video itself. So they literally just chopped up the Cigarettes and Alcohol video and that is that.
Shocker. Shocker that they didn't get on. Yeah, I mean, what was kind of the first song that really got you into it then? Would you say it's Some Might Say, or was it kind of something a little bit before that, perhaps? I mean, is your dad, are your parents kind of, are your parents trying to play music behind it? Because I can always remember kind of my first proper bit of kind of really getting into it when I was about 15, 16 would have probably been, you know, your Arctic Monkeys, your Catfish, kind of around that time. So about 2017, 2018, your Blossoms had only just come through as well.
Yeah.
But kind of stuff like, my dad had always played the Beatles. But I never really associate stuff like the Beatles in my music. Obviously knowing it, but never really associate it. So
yeah,
was
yeah,
it kind
yeah.
of the same for you? Was it music that was always being played around you? Or was it something where you had to find your own identity in music?
That's a great question, that. That's a great question. I don't know how to answer that. It was just sort of everything and anything.
Yeah.
I've got all these memories of like growing up around stuff like Oasis, like Stone Roses, like Specials.
Yeah,
and then my mum and dad didn't really do like the modern day stuff.
So you're kind of going back to the Specials, etc. Then perhaps for stuff like that, and your Motown. Is that where kind of that influence comes from? Perhaps. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I can understand that as a kind of thing. Do you think that influences you then for both parts of it, or do you think one, in your personal experience, influences you more than what you listen to from growing up? Which one do you think has the kind of bigger like ego side of your brain when you're songwriting?
It's definitely all like the stuff that I listen to now. I'm 25 now. It's just sort of like your music taste matures, doesn't it? And it molds itself so much around your life.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, while we're on the topic, and this isn't on me thinking about, I always like to ask this question. If I was to say to you, your favourite three albums that you had to listen to on a desert island, what would it be? I know I'm putting you on the spot there because that is a big question, isn't it, really?
Question.
But yeah, if you're on a desert island, what would be the three albums that you can listen to? Because three songs would be too boring. So three albums, what would it be? Or is that quite too hard of a question to answer?
I'd probably go Definitely Maybe.
Yep, classic, obviously. I think I'd go Definitely Maybe.
The Twang, Love It When I Feel Like This.
Okay, nice. We've never had that on the show before. We've never had that as an answer, the Twang. I don't think anyone's ever really said the Twang, to be fair. People have said Definitely Maybe, but never said the Twang. So, what would be the final one for you guys, then?
That's the cutting choice for me. That's the cutting choice.
What, the final? Would it be Stone Roses? Would it be the first one? Would it be the Stone Roses, the first album, perhaps? Or would it be Morning Glory, perhaps? If you're standing along the long lines of Oasis, would it be the Catfish one?
I couldn't do two Oasis albums on a desert island.
No, good point, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'd probably end up in a parka.
Probably. Yeah, that's if you find it on a desert island as well. Arctic Monkeys, perhaps? The first two Arctic Monkeys albums? One of them? Or would you stick Stone Roses? Or like a New Order, perhaps? Would a New Order, something that's a little bit unique as well, compared to the other two?
I'd probably say...
It is a very tough question, though, I must say. It is a very tough question.
The Enemy, We'll Live and Die in East End.
Yes. What a tune. It's a great album. Probably.
What an album.
Yeah, it is. I've always said that. I've always said that The Enemy have kind of been... That very first album is probably one of the most underrated albums. And, yeah, to be fair...
I think it's one of the greatest debut albums to ever exist.
I do. I think between Revenant and Maker's first album, The Enemy's first album... Yeah. Block Party's first album, Silent Alarm, really like that one, and Arctic Monkeys' first album. I think between them four, I think they've really kind of... And also Razor Lights.
Yeah, yeah.
That first Razor Light one's really good as well. And the Kooks, there's too many.
I've never really listened to Razor Light, personally.
Have you never been a fan of Razor Light as a band?
I've just never really listened to them.
It's just one of them things that always kind of bypass you. Yeah. Well, anyway. 2022 then. I'm currently 2024, just starting out 2024, so I should probably say about 18 months. Have you guys been together? Or
just about, yeah.
Yeah, about 18 months. What would be the highlight of the band so far for you guys as we stand in this moment? What's been the highlight so far that stands out as the... Or are you still waiting on that moment as a band?
For me personally, it was when we sold out a gig in June.
Was that one of the first? I'm assuming this is in Leicester.
In Leicester? Yeah.
So what is that your? Was that your first kind of sold out show then in your hometown? Is that why it's kind of special to you guys?
That's been like the only fully sold out. You can have tickets on the door, but we couldn't let anyone else in. Around my room, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose that's gonna be really. Can you remember the allocation that you sold out for?
I can't remember the room only held. I think it was about 180.
So decent. It's a decent kind of thing to sell out as well then. So, I mean, I just couldn't imagine, because I'm not, like, kind of in a band and I'm not musically in that way, but kind of what's the feeling? How are you feeling when you're kind of thinking, we've sold out, we've done 18 months worth as a band, we've got these five songs performing. How do you kind of feel as kind of someone that's in a band when you sell out that type of gigs, especially in your hometown? What kind of the sensation is going through your body at that moment? Is it nerves, or is it excitement, or is it kind of that this is the start of something bigger? Kind of what's going on in you guys' mind at that moment?
I'm a bit of both. I can only really speak for myself. Like, I do get a little bit nervous, but then I'm buzzing just to get up there and do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, is it definitely nerves before you got on stage, and then you kind of feel comfortable on stage? There's not, like, kind of a moment of nervousness when you are on stage, only before?
I only really get nervous when it's in between songs and there's not a whole lot going on, you know what I mean?
What, that awkward silence in between, when you kind of, tuning the guitar again, yeah.
You really get a sense of feel of, like, 20 seconds feels like 2 minutes, you know what I mean? Time really slows down.
Yeah, I can remember going to a gig with... Do you know a band called Twin Atlantic, by any chance?
Yeah.
I went to go see Twin Atlantic, and the guitar was just out of tune. Like, three different guitars were out of tune, And it just went on for about 4 or 5 minutes, but it felt like the entire gig. And I've never, to be fair, they pulled it around because it was quite humorous, but I can just remember thinking, like, oh, that is just like my worst nightmare. Do you know what I mean? That is my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
In between. So is that kind of a fear for you guys then? Like when nothing's really happening, there's no music. Are you kind of, if something like that is happening, are you kind of interacting with the crowd in that way? Or?
Yeah, we do try to. And it's normally down to my bassist to tell really bad jokes.
Is that the person that's kind of doing a bit of comedic kind of crowd routine in the middle of it? Is the falls down to the bassist?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No one needs to hear it. He doesn't need to open his mouth, but he still does, and it's still quite cringy.
I've got to kind of cringe on stage a little bit as well. I'll move on. What would be your kind of dream venue? Obviously, from Leicester, would it be a Kasabian supporting? Would it be, perhaps, if, I don't know, someone drops out and you guys end up at Summer Solace this summer? Is that a kind of dream for you guys, or are you guys have another venue in mind that would be that would be you guys' dream venues?
I don't really mind. I just sort of take it as it comes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And like, I wouldn't really want to do Summer Solstice because I'm not a massive fan of Abbey Park, but
I mean, I've never been. I was really thinking about getting tickets. I'm still in and out in. I'm a bit in kind of denial in a certain way that I'm still holding up. I'm still holding that hope that Tom Meagher might come back. And I won't see Kasabian until the deal. So I'm kind of holding out for a hope in that way. But I don't know. Why? What's the problem with the Abbey Park for Summer Solace? I've never... I can imagine a park's just a park, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's just personal choice. It's always been a bit rough.
Is that just a Leicester thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely. What would it be then?
A skate park at the back and that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's nice. You could do like half pipe and watch Serge Pessoa now.
Yeah, it's all like a concrete skate park and that. I reckon if you wanted to try and like sneak in, you could just rock up with a skateboard and watch from the back.
I think you've just given me an idea, mate, to be fair. Thanks for that. so what would are you, I mean, you're taking it as it comes then. There's no dream venue in mind for you then.
Every venue that we do that's slightly bigger or is here, there and everywhere, it doesn't matter where it is, that's another achievement to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you think the other lads would have a different answer? I mean, have you guys kind of talked about it as like music taste? Would it be, you know, a big festival? Would it be something like, I don't know, off the top of my head, something like, I'm trying to think, would something like Leeds perhaps, or would it be something like Download or something like that perhaps that would be...
Oh, Alistair would definitely want to do Download.
I
think that would be his dream.
Is it a personal preference between you guys then, really, on what is kind of the dream venue? I mean, some people, I mean, you're saying is as it comes, some people do Download. I can imagine with your sound as well, it suits in it like, I don't know, a Transmit, it suits in it like, you know, a Heaton Park, it suits in, you know, this kind of wall of sound, kind of stuff like that. I think it's interesting, especially when kind of you have different components of the band in terms of the music that's come together and also kind of what you guys have as a dream. Would you agree with that? That there's different parts of it that you guys kind of have. That you guys all have a kind of different dream to it, but it kind of works as an ensemble. Would you agree?
Yeah,
definitely. My last question. Of all the people that you kind of worked with, so far, because you've done a lot of kind of supporting gigs, you've headlined, as you say, you've worked with a lot of kind of other bands around Leicester and kind of stuff like that. Who should people be listening to? Who are some of the bands, apart from obviously Billy Bookers, who should people be listening to that you guys kind of are friends with in the music industry that you think definitely deserve that praise as well?
The Mucks. The Mucks definitely deserve the praise.
Yeah, I think you guys worked with each other a few times, haven't you? Or is it just that one that I could see on the Instagram? I think you'd worked a few times.
We've done the gig with them once, but we've known them for a while.
Yeah, is it something where you guys were just always helping each other out then? Is there a kind of community around that then, really? Or are you guys just
solo in it? I think it's a nice way to explain it. We're just mates. They rocked up to... We did a gig in Coventry.
Yeah,
and they rocked up and we just started speaking ever since.
Yeah, so there's not a case of band and band type thing. It's just being mates naturally, just being away from music. I suppose that's quite a nice, that's quite a nice thing really, to know that it's not a band thing. It's not a musical thing. It's just a friendship thing that you guys are supporting each other. Yeah, that's got to be quite nice, would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, quickly before I let you go, thank you for doing this. Really do appreciate it. Best of
Yeah, no
luck
problem.
with everything in the future. And yeah, please do go check them out. What are your socials so people can go follow Billy Bookers on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or MySpace or Carrier Pigeon or whatever it may be that you guys kind of use to communicate? What's the kind of social medias that you guys kind of using?
So it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, all your usuals, Billo Bookers on everything. We are the only ones.
So, B, I'll spell it out by the way. BILO, BUCKERERS. I think I spelled that right. Yes. So yeah, that it should just be that as Billo Bookers, as it's kind of said, really, isn't it? So, on Instagram, social media, whatever it be, Twitter. What are you kind of most active on, would you say? I always like kind of asking this question because some people say that they prefer to be active on Facebook, some on Instagram. That's why I reached out to you guys. Twitter, what would you kind of say is your kind of favorite to interact with people on?
We definitely use Instagram and Twitter more than anything else.
So I've had a few people where they've said that they kind of prefer doing it on Facebook, and I've never really understood that. Instagram seems to be the best way, I think, for bands. Would you agree on that? That kind of as a social media platform, that it's the best way to kind of get your stuff out there, would you say?
I think for posting stuff and reaching out, Instagram's definitely the way forward.
And
But
kind
for
of,
just social interactions, I'd definitely take Twitter.
I think it can be. Yeah, it can go one of two ways, can't it, on Twitter sometimes. Either they tell you that you really, really ache or that they thought that you was really, really rubbish and that you should never make music ever again.
Oh, we're quite lucky, to be fair. We've only had good responses on Twitter.
And definitely should, to be fair. I've just had a few people before where I'm like, I just don't use Twitter just because it can be just so. Well, it's X now. It's not even Twitter, is it? It's X.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, thank you. Go follow the social medias, Billo Bookers, BILO, BUCKERS, and so all social medias. Thank you for doing this. Really do appreciate it. And yeah, best of luck with everything in the future.
You too, mate.
Cheers. Appreciate it. See you in a bit.